Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Comics with Normies. I am your host, Jared Ulrich, the Yard Sale Artist, and today we're going to be talking about the further adventures of Indiana Jones, issue number 2. This is from February of 1983, and we're going to be talking about it with, as you guessed it, a normie. Obviously, a normie is somebody who doesn't normally read a lot of comic books, and today, my normie friend's name is Caleb Newsom. Caleb lives just down the road, well, not anymore. He used to live down the road for me. I'll let him tell you why he doesn't live down the road for me anymore. Caleb, welcome to the show. Just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I've always wanted to do a podcast, and I've known you have a podcast, so I thought it'd be fun to jump in with a comic book and get my feet wet in the podcast game. Well, just to introduce myself, I'm a college student at Troy University. I'm a junior, and I'm majoring in communications with a minor in political science. I would like to do something in public policy in the future, and move on from there, maybe.
Well, you got your life together. You're a junior already?
Yes, sir.
Man, I remember like 2 days ago you were in middle school. Man, time has sure flown. So, what history do you have with comics? I know you haven't read a lot of comics. That's why you're on the show. You're a normie, but you have a little exposure. Go ahead and tell us about that.
I do have a little exposure. My first exposure really came from hanging out with my neighbor. We would go to the comic book store a few times and get a few comics, but...
This is a neighbor other than me, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to be... Well, we were neighbors. Now he's in college up the road. But anyway, this was what our neighbor Tyler, right?
Is that right.
Tyler? All right. You and Tyler used to go to the comic book store. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. But also, I got some exposure from you since you would give out comic books on Halloween, and that was always fun. It was always an alternative to the typical candy, which most of it was knockoff crap anyway. So it was nice to find that in my stash for Halloween.
I'm proud to do it. I like giving out the comics for Halloween. I'm glad you enjoyed that. So just a couple of trips to the store with Tyler and some Halloween comics from me, huh? Nothing terribly memorable, nothing jumps out at you?
Nothing at all.
Okay, they didn't stick with him, folks. God only knows what I gave him for Halloween. What kind of exposure did you have to comics outside of comics? By that I mean, have you played comic-oriented video games, TV shows, movies? Talk a little bit about that.
I've been exposed through, you know, the Marvel movies.
Yeah, pretty much everybody's seen those.
Yeah, of course.
Which one's your favorite?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Heck yeah, I'm a Guardians guy too.
Your salvation is at hand. Be Santa!
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Listen to these words. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Now bring it down hard. Someday, put it together.
What are you doing?
Dance off, bro. Me and you. Gamora. Subtle, take it back.
What are you doing?
I'm distracting you, you big turd blossom.
Very cool.
I've played the video games. I've played Batman, Arkham Knight.
Excellent.
Arkham Asylum. I haven't played Arkham City for some reason, though, so...
Put on your list of things to do. It's a great series of games.
Yeah, and I think that about wraps it up as far as exposure goes.
Do you do any of the TV shows on Netflix? Do you do any of those Marvel shows?
I do not.
Okay, nothing like CW, The Flash, or...
Oh, no.
No? Okay. That's perfectly all right. So now we've gotten to know a little bit about Caleb, and we're going to get into the comic book here in just a moment. We're going to talk about the further adventures of Indiana Jones, issue 2 from February of 1983. Now, normally I ask the guest, what were you doing of February of 1983? But your answer to that was?
I didn't exist. My dad was a senior in high school, and I wasn't even a thought at the time.
Well, there you go. You are the youngest person who's ever been on the show, so that's cool.
I feel honored.
Yes, you now hold that prestige. So we will talk about the comic from February of 1983, Further Adventures of Indiana Jones number 2, when we come back from this podcast promo break. We'll see you on the other side.
Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr. If you're a history lover or a musical lover, you probably know about both Hamilton and Burr's rise to power in the early stages of American history and their infamous duel. But what if you didn't know the full story? What if one of them was a werewolf? White Rocket Entertainment proudly presents a 48-page full-color comic book, Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale. written by Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, art by Nate Niles, colors by Ace Wheely and Ken Solomon, letters by Percival Constantine, and edited by Johanna Albrick. Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale, available digitally on Kindle and Comics Central, C-O-M-I-X Central. Prefer a print copy? Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale, along with my other published works, are available at theyardsaleartist.bigcartel.com. That's theyardsaleartist.bigcartel.com. Or you can buy it directly from me, creator Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, at any of my Comic-Con appearances. Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale. Get your copy today. You won't regret it. Don't take my word for it. Here's what Ming Chen from AMC's TV series Comic Book Men had to say about it.
I really enjoyed it. A lot of great werewolf scenes in here. A lot of great... this is how I wish history would be told to kids. Books like Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale.
That's Hamilton vs. Burr, A Werewolf Tale.
Okay, so we're back with Caleb and the Further Adventures of Indiana Jones, number 2 from Marvel Comics. This came out in February of 1983. It was written by Denny O'Neill, penciled by John Byrne, and inked by Terry Austin. That's a pretty good lineup for those of you who don't know comics. It means absolutely nothing to Caleb, but for those who know comics, Byrne, Austin, and Denny O'Neill is a pretty good combination. So we've got our normie here, Mr. Caleb Newsom. Would you do your best to tell us what happened in Further Adventures of Indiana Jones, issue number 2?
Well, first off, I was just really interested that there was an Indiana Jones comic book.
Oh, you didn't know that? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the films?
I'm a big fan of the films.
Oh, great.
So that's why I was so interested to pick this one up and to get into it.
Awesome. Yeah, this would have come out after Raiders, but right before Temple of Doom. So this would have been only after Raiders of the Lost Ark. Got popular. Marvel got the license. Now the comic is out. I've taken enough of your time. Let us know what happened in issue number 2. Take it away, Caleb.
Okay, we start off with Indiana Jones and a woman by the name of Edith Dunn. They're trapped over some hot pot of gold. They're about to be baptized into it, really.
Yeah. It's a rough day for Indiana Jones.
There's some natives, sort of like in Raiders at the beginning. Sort of got that vibe off of it.
Okay.
It looks like they're done when there's some sort of distraction that causes the natives to run out and to leave their post. And at the same time, their building or their compound or wherever they're at, it's sort of shaken up and it loosens the chain that's holding Indiana and the woman up. And he rocks back and forth to launch themselves off of the chain. And they run outside and they find that the natives are in a battle with some thugs, I guess you could call them. The thugs just wipe out the natives. Turns out the thugs were using Indiana and the woman to get to some icons, I guess, or statues.
Yeah, gold statues, right?
Yeah. The thugs, who's led by this guy named Mr. Black, I believe, he's saying, okay, we're done with you. We're going to kill you now. And that's when another wave of villagers come up and they team up and fight off the villagers again. After that, he wants to resume business and get rid of Indiana and Edith Dunn. Indiana Jones convinces them that there's more statues and you'll need me to find them, so he takes them captive and they get on a boat. They're stuck in a cabin on the boat when Indiana uses the woman to seduce the guard into the room. He knocks him out and takes his gun and gives it to Edith, which is very important in the grand scheme of the story.
I guess we'll find out why.
Indiana Jones goes to the radio to send off a Morse code. That's when a bullet fires into the radio and turns out that he's been caught. Later, Mr. Black makes him and the woman walk the plank, but just as he does, a Nazi U-boat arrives. You know, you can always count on the Nazis in an Indiana Jones movie to make things interesting.
They always show up.
They just fire off a torpedo since the boat belongs to the Czech, and you know, the Nazis and the Czech, they're not friends. So,
they're not doing the Czechs mix. I'm sorry, folks. So yeah, the Nazi U-boat launched a torpedo at him.
Yeah, and
so walking the plank ended up being
the lifesaver.
The lifesaver.
Gotta get the nautical references in. You know, they get picked up by the U-boat. The U-boat takes them to New York. You know, since America and Germany really isn't at war yet at this point. They go to the airport. They load the statue on a plane. I guess another important detail that I kind of left out is that Miss Dunn's brother was killed in Indiana's office or something along those lines.
Yeah, not in this issue, but they talked about it in this issue, but we didn't really see it. Yeah.
Anyway, they get on the plane. She's wanting to sell it or something or get some sort of prestige and fame and glory for finding that statue.
Yeah, she was pretty amped up about that. She was like, I'm going to be famous and all this stuff. But it was weird.
Turns out she wants to get rid of Indiana Jones because, well, it turns out she's the one who orchestrated the killing of her brother as well. And the guy flying the plane turns out to be her henchman. And Indiana's in a corner there threatening to throw him out of the plane. He uses some sort of incantation.
Yeah, he like casts a spell.
Yeah. to summon the statue into some sort of alien being. And
it was kind of like, it reminded me of Temple of Doom. Like,
yeah, that's what it reminded me of,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, when he used those words and the rocks caught fire, like he used the native words, medicine man words or whatever, and brought the statue to life. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, well, I'll let you tell what happened after that.
Apparently, it's a part of that being's mission to execute judgment on the wicked. So those two were prime candidates for that judgment. Indiana just says, see ya, I'm putting this plane down in the Atlantic, and he parachutes out, and I think that's the end, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He parachutes out. We're pretty sure that gold-plated native guy killed them, or if he didn't, they all crashed into the Atlantic and died. Like, double death by Indiana Jones. But yeah, I got the comic right here, but I think you're right. Yeah, he's like, later, Gators. And yeah, that's the very last panel. Indy flying through the air, pulling his ripcord as the plane's flying out to sea. And that's it. That ends issue number two, Further Adventures of Indiana Jones. Good job on the recap.
Thank you.
So you did very well on the story. Speaking of the story, based off what you read, any guesses as to what might have happened before this in issue one? There was definitely some clues in there. We talked about that, but what would you guess happened in issue one?
Well, something had to happen for them to get trapped over that molten pot of gold.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to know how they got caught, but they didn't ever tell us, did they? What do you think happens after this issue?
I'm not sure, to be honest, because it just sort of
ends up nicely.
It ends abruptly, you know? Indiana goes into the ocean, you know, will he make it to shore, you know?
Of course he will.
Of course, but...
Kind of, this concludes basically that storyline. So yeah, I don't think we're going to get much more. It'll be like a new story, I think, starting with issue three, which I think I have. Also in this section of the show, as a lot of times I'll ask the person who did the recap, which did a great job on Caleb, what superpowers do you think this person has? But this is not a superhero comic. This is an Indiana Jones comic. So we already know about Indiana Jones, right? And you already like Indiana Jones, so that's great. So let's just jump right into talking about the art. And we start all art talks with the cover. What did you think of the cover?
It doesn't seem like something that would say Indiana Jones to me, because just sort of the dark shading on it and the purple around it just doesn't sort of cast that rustic, you know, archaeological exploration feel that you're getting into with Indiana Jones.
They used a lot of purple on the cover for the background, which is interesting. I would agree with you on that. It is weird to see a lot of that purple. And then there is a lot of dark shading. And just so the folks at home know, if you don't have this issue, you haven't looked it up. The cover is basically Indy and Miss Dunn tied to the chain. Very invocative of the very first page of the book. Dangling over the molten gold pit with the villagers basically circling around them. So it's almost exactly what's happening on page one of the book. It is done with a lot of dark shadow and kind of an odd purple background. Yeah, if it was Indiana Jones, I might have gone with more of a sand color or more of a tan or something like that. But you do have to remember that back in the 80s, it was all about catching the eye of the buyer. So flamboyant colors often were used just to kind of catch a kid's eye. You gotta look at it kind of from a kid's point of view, because they're targeting like 10, 12, 14 year olds. But still, no, I think it's a fair point about the purple. So anything else about the cover? Did you like it, not like it? Think it was just okay?
I liked it. Sort of built up what the reader was getting into on the first page, like
that's
you said.
True.
And I enjoy the mystery behind it, I guess, because you have the villager chief.
Yeah, he's decked out too, man. He's pimped out in that, was it like feathers? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is Indy wearing his hat?
He's not
wearing his hat on the cover. Ooh, man.
You know he's in trouble.
Yeah, that's the first sign that he's in trouble. Good call. Then, of course, we have interior art. Like I said, this is John Byrne and Terry Austin. That's kind of a classic duo on comics. What did you think about the interior art?
I love sort of the salmon red and pink going on in it. There's a lot.
Oh, yeah, when they're dangling over the pit. The colorist did a good job because it's very red and yellow lighting. So good point on that.
Yeah, and it contrasts very nicely when we get onto the ocean, because it'll have the sunset and it'll have sort of the aqua blue and the different shades of blue going on.
Yep.
I like it a lot.
It's a pretty good art team. Was there anything in here that really stood out to you that you thought, wow, that drawing was particularly good or anything like that?
I thought Mr. Black's face was very interesting.
I was just thinking that same thing as he was flipping back through it, and they had some close-ups of the face, and I thought it's a pretty neat character design in that he definitely looks like a bad guy.
Yeah.
Over on, like, I don't know, page 5 or 6, something like that, of the book. There's a couple of panels, one where he's like very angry, followed by one where he's very happy. And I think Byrne did a great job with his facial expressions, but
yeah.
We're not here to talk about what I think, we're talking about what you think. But you like Mr. Black?
Yeah, his face sort of has that almost Emperor Palpatine look to it.
Very, he looks like pickled and...
Yeah, he looks like maybe Mace Windu cooked Emperor Palpatine well done, and he decided to do a medium rare on Mr. Black.
Oh, now we're crossing over our George Lucas properties. Was there any art in the book that you didn't like? You were just like, I don't like this. It's not very well drawn.
I would maybe like to see more detail to the New York skyline when the U-boat pulls up, but that's understandable since it's a comic book and it's just one frame. It's not the main setting or anything else.
I gotcha. The art of the book, you give it a good, a decent, terrible? What do you think? Overall?
Yeah, I would give it overall a pretty good score. Seems to be really faithful to drawing Indiana Jones as he is portrayed in the films, and it seems to be consistent with the overall texture and vibe of the movies. So
yeah, and that's like always it. A good thing. No, I would agree with you on that. Well, good job. We've talked about story, we've talked about art. All that leaves us with is the extras in the book. As you were flipping through and reading the book, did any of the ads kind of jump out to you as being particularly interesting?
I thought the gum ad was kind of interesting.
Oh, with the bubble yum?
Yeah.
Those of you who read comics for a long time will remember it. It's like 10 panel comic to itself of the little boy chewing the bubble yum, the person off camera basically trying it and realizing how delicious it is type of a deal, if I'm not mistaken. What do you like about that ad?
It just seems to capture the simplicity of video ad, because, you know, an ad you see on television tries to be, you know, short and sweet with some little story like that, and to see it in comic book form, it's...
Oh, okay, so it reminded you like how they would do a TV ad. Interesting. I've never heard that angle before, but you're right.
Yeah, because Coca-Cola likes to have the little sentimental commercials, and it seems to have the same thing going with this little boy in this ad, so that's interesting to me.
Very cool. Normally I ask my guests which ads brought back memories, but since you weren't around in 1983, not a lot of memories to bring back, but hey, Bubble Yum is still on the shelves, people. This whole episode's been one big advertisement for Bubble Yum.
I know, I'm definitely going to go buy some now.
He's fired up about Bubble Yum.
This is a chunk of super soft Bubble Yum bubblegum. This is a loud thumping, tune pumping boombox. Both are known for blast. The yum is the fun that never blows out. Big mouth busting bubble yum keeps it popping.
All right, so we've talked about story, we've talked about art, we've talked about ads, so we're going to take our second and final podcast promo break, and we come back, we'll find out what Caleb's overall entertainment score on a scale of 1 to 10 is going to be for this issue. Further Adventures of Indiana Jones, number 2. What's the score? Find out on the other side of this break.
Hello, I'm Pat Sampson, and I would like to invite you to join me on my podcast, The Long Box Crusade. On this podcast, I'm reading through my 20-plus long boxes that I have stored away in my basement. On each episode, I will select a random issue from my collection and take a very highbrow, thoughtful approach to examining these truly American art forms that help to shape our popular culture.
Oh, I like comics too. Can I get a comic out of my long box that syncs up with the month and year of the comic from your long box and chat about that too? Oh, and video games. Can we talk about games? Or maybe James Bond too. I love James Bond.
Fine. Jared Elbrick, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist. We can add some of your comics and enthusiasm to the show. It might help get a deeper introspection of...
Did someone say James Bond? I love James Bond, and I love comics too. I can bring a comic from my long box to sync up with you guys. I also love movies and music, even news stories that tie into the time period that match the comic books we review.
This is what I get for inviting both the Albrecht brothers into my show. Jason, how the heck can we fit all that into my deeply intellectual review of... Well, you know what? Fine. Let's do it. Let's cram it all into one podcast. Join us on the Longbox Crusade, folks. We'll bounce around in time from issue to issue, pulled randomly from my longboxes, and the Albrecht brothers will bring along issues with the same month and year cover date. We'll talk about the comics and the time period they come from, including...
World news of that time.
Top 40 music chart toppers.
Movies, both good and bad. Maybe even some favorite recipes.
Whatever I think is funny.
We'll probably have to suffer through things that Jared thinks are funny.
We'll jam it all into one pop culture extravaganza, examining the comics in my long box and the time period surrounding them. Join us for a wild ride through time on the Long Box Crusade podcast as we attempt to read them all.
What's in your long box?
We are back. with Caleb Newsom and the Further Adventures of Indiana Jones from February 1983. So this is issue number 2. So, Caleb, moment of truth on a scale of 1 to 10. How entertaining was this book?
I would have to give it a perfect score. I really liked it.
Wow, he gave it a full 10. After being all coy in the earlier segments about, oh, the art was good and it was okay and I like this and that, he comes out and gives it the perfect 10. And you know what? I gotta kind of agree with you. This is a very compelling book. This is a book I probably haven't read since the early to mid 80s. So coming back to it again to do the show with you was really a lot of fun for me too. It is a really good book. So he gives it a perfect 10. And on a scale of 1 to 10, if I had issue 3, how much would you like to read it?
I would go with a good 8 or 9.
8 or 9. So he's like, yeah, if I had the time, I would read that thing. I might have it. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Oh, good. I'm not sure if it would have the same magnitude and force as this one, but it would still be pretty good in my opinion.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you enjoyed your first sort of official foray into comics, and I do thank you for being on the show.
I enjoyed being here. I hope to come back sometime.
Hey, you know what? We might just have to have you back. Maybe we'll do another Indiana Jones. Maybe we'll do a Star Wars comic. We'll do a different George Lucas
that'd be cool.
Property. Well, I guess it's not George Lucas anymore. I guess it's a Disney property now.
Yeah.
So thanks for being here, and to the audience, thanks for listening and taking a first official trip into comics with Caleb and myself. As always, you can follow the show on Facebook. It's Comics with Normies. On Twitter, it's at Normies Podcast. And if you're interested in hearing me in any other venues, you can always check out the Long Box Crusade that I do with Pat Sampson and my brother Jason and my buddy Delvin. Or you can check out On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, the James Bond show that I do with Van and John Ringer and Delvin Williams and Pat Sampson and my brother Jason. Just go on the internets and you'll find me. So thank you guys so much for being here. Once again, I'm Jared Albrecht, the Yard Sale Artist, and I was joined by
Caleb Newsom.
And this has been Comics with Normies. You guys keep reading comics, and I'll keep finding somebody who doesn't. Thanks. This episode and every episode of Comics with Normies is provided by musical genius Joe November. Check out his SoundCloud at JOSEFLIN99. You won't regret it. And all editing for this podcast is done by DJ Christados from over at the Longbox Crusade. Much appreciated, Christados. Catch you guys again next time.